You're listening to the Blissful Hiker Podcast. I'm Allison Young, the Blissful Hiker, sometime professional flutist, sometime voice artist, and full-time pedestrian. My goal in sharing stories of walking long-distance trails as a solo, female, middle-aged, titanium-reinforced hiker is to empower you to learn to hike your own hike, too. If you enjoy these podcasts, please consider supporting them through Patreon. There's a link in the show notes or at blissfulhiker.com. This week, it's mud, it's snow, a beer before 10 a.m., and a wrong turn that makes for a surprisingly fun hiking day. Well, my brilliant idea to use my ground cloth like a blanket and stay dry failed miserably. I mean, I'm dry under the quilt, but condensation built up underneath the ground cloth. I mean, it's not as wet as yesterday, and nothing is completely frozen this morning. I pack up and notice the sticky mud adhering like glue to my stakes. I'm here in prime time. It'll all be gone in a few weeks. I decide to give a small bit of road a try, and I copy Snack Pack. There's still a raging torrent of muddy water flowing at me, but as she pointed out, there's more choice where to walk. It really has gotten slightly more beautiful. Tall ponderosa more tightly packed in, meadows and lichen-covered rock. The sun cuts at an angle, and everything has a warm glow, even if covered in frost. The birds sing with gusto from every tree. I'm in a much better headspace on this glorious morning. I pass a mole tunnel revealed under melted snow. I still have drifts to cross, and my feet crunch the crusty top. Other feet have been on this road. It's definitely easier walking than the trail. I remember a wise person telling me to enjoy good things while they last. I mean, nothing lasts forever, but that goes for bad things too, and the good will return. I reach a tank and I see Joey high up on its bank in the sun. I decide to leave him to his reverie as the trail moves away. I find a stump to sit on in a sunny spot a little further on where I collect water from the runoff spilling out of Maxi tank. The only major benefit for us hikers right now is that water is plentiful. Joey catches me in the forest crossing a drift. Thank the goddess I can simply place my feet in someone else's post hole. I assume he'll blast by, but either he slows down or I'm moving fast enough and we walk together through the forest, chatting. It's funny that I prefer to hike alone, and yet with a good conversationalist, hiking with a friend is the best. We talk about yesterday, and he tells me he also struggled, but just set his mind to taking things as they come. We talk about long hikes and how it might be a bit too much, as well as speed and how silly it can be to always go fast. I move happily along, a different person from yesterday. It's prettier and not quite so horrible, even if we come across a few nasty spots. Our conversation takes us all the way to Lake Mary Road, where a camper is parked right at our crossing. Of course, I ask if they might have a beer they can sell me, and Billy pops in the back to produce two. It's ballpark beer at 10 a.m., and nothing goes down smoother for a thru-hiker. Billy tells us this land used to be in his family, but it's now a nature preserve. It's loud with frogs and birds, and we walk on a raised dirt road, moving easily as the beer takes its effect. I tell Joey about the amazing whiskey tasting I had in Scotland after hiking to Cape Wrath. He tells me that he quit smoking after losing his pack of cigarettes on the trail. And just like that, we miss our turn and take the wrong road. Checking the map, we see we've gone pretty far, but we can parallel then join the trail if we just cross this meadow. And it's a lot like Scotland, jumping from one grassy tussock to the next to avoid bog, sometimes splashing straight through water. But I find it the most fun of the day. It's a little over a mile on relatively decent if spongy surface that takes us to private property. We need to meet another side road inside a locked gate, and figure with all this snow, the place has got to be empty. Joey throws over his pack, but me? Well, I may have new hips and getting a bit creaky, but I'm still a good climber, and I pop right over, keeping my pack on the whole time. This side road is covered in water and mud, and we miss the trail, needing to search in the woods to find it. Once on, Joey just takes right off, moving fast. It's only a few miles to a junction with a resort, and he's skipping it to get home to Flagstaff. So I lose him on the uphill, and just take my time on the final bits before heading to civilization. Just before the turn, I meet a couple coming in with their dogs. Her name is Stamps, and she walked the AZT last year, but skipped this section. I tell her and her partner Isaac the mud is epic. But they've planned a leisurely 6 days and will likely have a better time of it. Though I wonder about their little squat dog, Bella. I hit the turn to Mormon Lake, a natural body of water that grows and shrinks over time. It's the home of the Zane Grey Museum, as well as camping and a small store. The restaurant opened for the season yesterday, and I want a steak. It's only a mile down, but as if a reprise, all things return. Deep post-hold snow drifts, water as trail, sticky mud, and rocks the size of basketballs. As if that's not enough, one overgrown thorny patch is thrown in for good measure.
Ow, ripping my clothes.
The lake's just a puddle, but the place is hopping. I buy some food and have a huge meal, then decide to skip the camping with loud car campers and head back up my reprise trail in reverse to camp at the junction. I find a gorgeous spot still in sunshine, on top of pine needles and next to a stream. Just as I begin to set, a young man comes down the trail. He's carrying the smallest backpack I've ever seen, with no waist belt. He's not even using walking sticks, and is about as minimalist as they come. His name is Waldo, and he's English, and in spite of his extra hyper ultralight gear, is relaxed and easygoing. He thought nothing of the mud in the last section, and after I snap his picture, he saunters on, hoping to get to Flagstaff tomorrow. Perhaps he's a fell runner and used to extremes. I mean, England is very wet. But how can he traverse this countryside and stay safe with so little? As for me, I've gone as ultralight as I dare. A single wall trekking pole style tent, an ultralight quilt and pad, and no cooking stove or fuel. Still, I take flip-flops and a change of clothes for bed. I have a large battery to charge my phone because I can write every day and take thousands of pictures. I have a sit pad and a bag of wet wipes, but other than that, not much else. Doesn't sound over the top, does it? Yet it all adds up and would never fit in that book bag-sized pack. Birds hoot and a duck quacks loudly as he flies over the meadow. I'm cuddled in as it goes quiet except for the gurgling stream. I'm warm and cozy, and so grateful for a fun day walking with a friend, even if we did take a wrong turn. I had a great meal at a funky place, and I have my good health to keep doing this. At this moment, everything feels right. You can subscribe to Blissful Hiker wherever you get your podcasts, and please leave a review on Apple to help the show get discovered. Blissful Hiker is on Patreon right now. You can support the show financially as a patron and help me get on trail to collect sound and create these stories. Find a link to Patreon in the show notes or at blissfulhiker.com. That's also where you can find other episodes, the blog, see pictures, and contact me, blissfulhiker.com. Next week, it's a long day, but the trail gets easier and drier, and for the first time, a few glimpses of views. Until then, my friends, kia kaha and happy trails.